How's everything going in both your lives? How's everything going in both your lives? Good.
Good. Not bad, I can't complain.
I can complain about the pollen.
Yeah.
Just look at my car.
Mine too.
Yeah. I was in a meeting yesterday and I had to excuse myself because like my left eye is starting to close. I can't see. I gotta go, you know, wash my face or something. That's what I'm hoping for. I just heard on the radio that we're supposed to get rain, so that's great. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to call to order to a Fire District Prudential Committee of meeting of the 5th of June, 2019. Is anyone recording? Amy Cates is recording. Can I have a roll call, please?
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Janau, Prudential.
Charlie Eager, Clark.
We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The purpose of this meeting is to review the annual district meeting and some of the mishaps that occurred last week. I do want to say that I feel very responsible. I wasn't as diligent as I should have been in reviewing the script to make sure that it matched the warrant. Ray did such a good job last year that I didn't think that there was going to be a problem.
For my educational purposes, can you just go over the, so we have to publish the warrant.
Yes.
30 days out.
No.
And I apologize. I'm just trying to get a better handle on it.
The warrant has to be published in the 7 days prior to the
annual
meeting, 14 days prior to a special district meeting.
Okay.
I thought it was 14 for both of them. I thought that got changed.
It's 7 for the annual, because you don't need as much time.
Okay.
As I, we did change the bylaw. The bylaw did say for special district meeting it was 7 days also.
Right. We changed that to 2 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that gets published, and then obviously sometimes there's last minute changes so that our script is different.
No, there shouldn't be. Once it's published, it's written in stone.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, the warrant itself is to give notice of what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not changing the dollar amounts. Where the change has been is in the categories. And it seems to be the breakdown of other than salaries.
Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where the audience's script, the constituents' scripts were different than ours. And it wasn't always just dollar amounts.
No.
There were.
It wasn't. There was only $1 amount that was changed. The difference was, I think what Ray did was he didn't say raise and appropriate or transfer inappropriate. He didn't say that for every one, and I think that's just because he knew, you know, what he was going to do and how he was going to fund each article.
Okay.
So it didn't was either raise inappropriate or borrow inappropriate.
Okay.
So that was the major problem with most of them.
So as far as like just straightening out the warrant article issue, we really just need to be more diligent and eyes on. And I'll take responsibility for it. I wasn't too free.
We all have to take responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do this as a committee.
Right.
As a joint committee.
So I think that, you know, I, for one, will obviously be more diligent. I just know that things were changing up until, you know, it is actually drafted or printed,
right.
I guess,
yes.
Till the final. And, you know, so. And I don't know how to, I mean, I think maybe, you know, and I hate to say it, I'm an attorney. We draft legal documents every day, and we give them to another attorney to review. before we have the client sign. And I've now been practicing law for 27 years because sometimes when you read things, you don't absorb them. You know, yeah. You can read the same thing over and over, and you're reading it as something else. So I guess we either need to literally read through them at a meeting.
And that was part of the problem. Usually we have a meeting where we go over the script.
Okay.
So
okay.
We didn't do that.
So we need to make sure that that happens.
But I've also, Lisa Haven, who's our assistant treasurer, is actually a PhD, and she has a great deal of experience in publishing articles and writing articles, and she'd be a good editor. And I have someone else, Vic Mastro, who is also someone who publishes a great, 40 years of scientific journals. And he'd be, a great person to edit it and look it over.
Okay, so we could almost appoint a subcommittee to do that.
I think just those two people. I know what Mark Rick, suggested, circulating it to everybody. I think that's too, too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't think that's necessary. I think, two people with editing experience would.
Okay, because it's not even really editing so much as
errors.
Does this say what this says?
Okay.
I don't have a problem with just two people, but then that comes back to the point that, I mentioned. I think when I first started working here with this committee, when we're talking about the water department, the fire department, we had those workshops about how they go about their operations. They seem to have more staff available than we have. Yeah. One of the reasons why we are trying to make Lisa full-time is to avoid things like this. Mm-hmm. Because as you both know, we end up doing most of the work ourselves.
Yeah.
We all have daytime jobs too. And I don't think that's conducive to good business, and it leads to situations like this, where you can get small typos and that's a small issue that could be fixed, but then if you start messing up amounts and things of that nature, then now you can get into a bigger problem. So without really a bad intention behind it. So due diligence in being able to count on our staff to do take more of the legwork is something that we need to do. I mean, I constantly do it on my end. I've been working for municipalities now, for 10 years, over 10 years. And I've always seen that. I mean, me as a staff in my municipality, that's what I do. We prepare things so that the boards review them, and we make sure that things are checked and double-checked and triple-checked before they go to these meetings. And obviously, we have a different style here, but maybe that's something that we should start looking into. Maybe we got to keep up with the times, and this is one of those warnings that we're getting. That, it was maybe great 20 years ago, but now there's so much going on. So we got to lean on our staff more, I would say.
So that, obviously there were, issues with the script. There were also issues with some things that were published in the annual report. I know some were just dates, but I did meet with Ms. Gardner today and went through some concerns that she had regarding the report, which I told her I would be happy to speak with Ray about. I know that he's not able to attend this evening. That I just don't have the answer to, just because I don't have that knowledge. And I will do that, Cindy, when he comes back. One thing that we talked about that I had thought about, even before meeting with Cindy, is, if we do have at last-minute revised articles, just like a page of, Article 3 is revised from what you have. Article 10 is going to be revised, and have the revised articles printed at the back of the room. Is that possible?
We shouldn't have any revised articles. Right. We can't do that. It's after 7 days, that's what's been published to the.
So why did we have something that said, like, maintenance department that they had? And
I believe it goes back before Ray.
Okay.
The maintenance department was Mike Daly.
Okay.
He just named it maintenance rather than custodian.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
all
it's
right.
A maintenance partner.
Okay.
One part.
Rather
person.
Than. Okay.
Well, actually, there are two people.
Yeah.
I'm the other person in the maintenance department.
The report, just in reviewing it, it would be great if it had page numbers. I was trying to, back and forth, and you know, just a simple thing. At least the reports, so that, you know, if you're trying to speak with somebody, to be able to say, you know, page three, that would be helpful, particularly since the print is small and some of it's hard to, you know, read. And again, these are just kind of simple things that just might make it a little bit easier. Cindy had suggested, and I don't think it's a bad suggestion by any means, that perhaps if the reports could be, or the annual report could be posted prior to publication.
You know, that's...
Is that too difficult?
Well, I don't, you know, as long as it's the completed report, right, and it's not a draft.
How long do we ask for people to have the have it completed before we give it to Lou Jean for publication? I assume Lou Jean does our publication?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's asked for in February.
Okay.
I didn't get the last piece until April.
Okay.
Mid-April.
All right. And it has to, and how long does it take for?
It only takes them about a week and a half to print it up.
Yeah, but like you're saying, I mean, that document that we sent to the printers, we can put it on the website as well.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, it's the same document. They're going to get it in print.
If there could be a fine line of, you know, just people can review it. If
correct.
They notice an error and we can catch it before it goes to print.
Well, we should. That's what I was going back. I mean, to
there
try
shouldn't
to do
be
that
errors. I get that. But
no, we can do that. I would say that that's something we should do that in house. But again, that speaks to the level of personnel staff that we have available, and that's when you start saying, okay, are we going to make our residents do our work?
No.
No. That's what they're paying us for, or paying the district employees for. So that's when we say, okay, well, maybe we need more staff because we don't have staff to do these things. So that's the kind of operational things that, again, I was bringing up when we had the workshops, and perhaps we're going to have to keep having more of these workshops. And
what I hear you saying is your concerns that we're understaffed.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue to cause problems.
Correct. I wholeheartedly believe in that. I mean, we had a part-time treasurer. We had a part-time assistant treasurer, and that's it. I mean, that's
we have an administrative assistant.
We had an administrative assistant, too.
For 4 hours a week.
Correct, 4 hours a week. So it's just for the amount of work that we're doing and the level of service that is expected of us, we don't have the staff to do it. We don't have the staff to do it. And there's statutory things that are not being addressed properly. Case in point, just to use an example of something that I'm dealing with, the floor for Freedom Hall. I don't have a problem doing the procurement and doing all the things that I did because I have that background and I understand it. But by law, technically, you have to have a chief procurement officer that has to be, it's in record at the Mass IG's office, and they say this person is responsible for all the procurement for that municipality, regardless of who did it. I don't know who that person is.
We've actually been talking to our administrative assistant about starting that process and becoming the procurement agent for
correct.
The district because
correct.
She's a full-time employee, and you know it doesn't make sense for an elected official to be doing that because that's not proper.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. There's a lot of overlapping between what we do and what we're supposed to be doing and what staff is supposed to be doing. Our job should be to double-check what they do, and their job should be to double-check what we do. If we start doing what they do, there's no who's checking us.
True.
The public is. And that's what these things are starting to come up. So there's got to be more of a separation of duties. There's got to be more of an organizational chart, if you will, and so that there can be more accountability and transparency. I don't think we're not being transparent. I don't think we're trying to hide anything we're doing. If anything, we're doing too much. I think it's the opposite. But that could also lead to problems. And, for example, like you just mentioned, just doing this report, it shouldn't be this hard.
Right.
We should be able to have a second set of eyes look at things, and somebody who we can say, here you go, post it on the website. Shouldn't be you.
No.
Shouldn't be you.
No.
But it shouldn't be Chris. Chris works for the fire department. She doesn't work for us.
No, she does.
Four hours a week.
Okay. Well, there you go. But it's again, 4 hours a week.
No.
Seriously. I mean, that starts to get to the point where it's not working. It's not working out, and I think all these things that are happening are symptoms of that. And I think in the next couple of years, we definitely have to take a deep look internally as to where we're going, what we want to be, and what we're going to be in 10 years.
Good question.
Yeah. That's, to me, that's where we are. We're at a crossroads right now, including all the other departments. I mean, water department, technically, they have 4 people on staff. Yeah. I don't want to talk about their operations because, you know, I'm not...
I think they're 5 now. I think they have...
Well, and they're 5, yeah. And they have another person, yeah. And I'm not well-versed in what they do, but, I mean, drinking water is one of the most, if not the most important thing we provide. It's a service that is related to public health. It's related to economic development. It's related to so many things, and it has so many regulatory attachments to it that for us to have 5 people doing that, it could lead to so many problems. But now that's the conversation. Okay, do we get bigger because the regulations and the statutes are making us get bigger? Or do we say, no, we're going to stay the same, but we're going to provide a lower level of service than we can? That's what we are. We're at that crossroads. It's one or another. It's a binary solution. It's A or B. There's no C. So I think that's one of the reasons why I ran. That's one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm here, because I feel that I can bring some perspective into that because I've seen it in other municipalities. But it's something that we as a board have to talk internally. We have to talk to the other boards. We have to talk to our staff. We have to create a long-term plan. We have to present it to the public because there's going to be changes. There's going to be changes. There has to be. They're forced on us by the state.
By the state, yeah.
They're forced on us by the federal government. You can see what's happening right now at the Fire Academy in Hyannis. The town of Barnstable, same issues. That's a water district issue. The town bought that water district. All of a sudden, now they're dealing with a historical problem that they're looking into maybe putting new well sites in and abandoning those. That is an incredible amount of money.
That's expensive.
They are staffed by 2 people, a superintendent and assistant superintendent. And then they have contract ops with ZUS. The problem is they only have 2 people. So they can't keep up with the work. We don't want to be in the situation they're in. We got to get ahead of it before it happens. And there's a lot of that going on. So I just wish, you know, like I said, I think we got to do a lot of outreach. I personally, like I mentioned at the district meeting, I'm sorry, I'm taking a lot of time.
No, that's okay.
I want to start doing some outreach and going to the Civic Association meetings because obviously they're better attended than us, and start taking Q&A so I can give my opinion as to where I see things going, where we see things going, and start getting ahead of things so that it's not a surprise to people when they start happening.
Well, since like policy advisory, that needs to be something that, you know, we kind of task them with this year.
Correct.
Coming up with some, you know, alternatives as to how to move forward and better be able to give the district the level of service that they deserve. Because,
correct,
you know, historically, and, you know, it has been the committee members that do a lot of the work, and I agree that it's not appropriate, but we do it because there's...
No,
we
budget.
Have 4 hours a week of an administrative assistant.
Correct.
You know, it's not. We've never budgeted for that level of support.
Correct. And like I said, I think that's in the past it may have been okay, and we were able to do our business the right way with that amount of staffing. But with all the things coming down the pike now, it's just things are changing so quickly on us that it's just hit us like a freight train, and we're just playing catch up. So. But another thing I saw, and a suggestion I'm going to throw out there, is I saw that in the bylaws, we're allowed to create a variety of committees for a variety of situations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that came up was for the space needs assessment, perhaps having a committee so that we don't do it on our own. We can have one of us be represented in these committees for projects or whatever, and they have 2 members of the public. There's got to be builders in the district.
I think, you know...
We would benefit from using their experience. So
absolutely.
Reaching out to people like that in the Civic Association meetings, mailers, whatever, saying, hey, the Prudential Committee is looking for expertise a couple of hours a week, hopefully, to help us out and you know, upgrade the fire station. Any builders out there...
We have a couple of architects in the building.
Architects, exactly. Things like that. So it seems that there's a lot of interest out there, but we... for some reason, are not reaching these people. And I think we can do a better job at that.
Well, as you even saw with the annual district meeting, there's not a lot of participation in the village. And I think, and I know that Mrs. Hadley got up, Lori Hadley got up and said that, you know, things that people have tried in the past, you know, they've tried a variety of things. You know, I don't know that we've ever offered free pizza, but, you know. There has been a changeover in the village, I think, with respect to our residents. You know, drive down School Street, drive down High Street, drive down, you know, any of the major roads, and it's just a question of how to reach those people because, you know, we have a lot of education in the village, and I'm sure there are people who'd be willing to give a couple hours a week. They just don't know that we need them.
I contacted last year. Mimi McConnell gave me a copy of the Kituat Fire District information booklet mm-hmm. that she updated, which Lori Hadley has. She's going to type that up, but that's probably at this point going to be need to be updated also. But I think some of the other things that we need to do, and the problem is garnering the information. But I think. You know, we don't have the Prudential Committee, and as far as I know, the Water Department doesn't have emails for residents or texts, you know, or be able to text residents. So, I think the Water Department it would be the ideal people to collect that information.
Yeah.
If they ask for it on their bills, they send out the bills.
Yeah.
And
I think that the Civic Association, I'm sorry to interrupt, I mean, they have some database, but
they're not going to give it to us. They're not going to share it. I've already asked.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, we can ask them to do stuff, but...
Send something on our behalf.
On our behalf.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, I think it'd be better if the district did it.
I've thought about four outreach, ways of outreach. Number one, just like the one that you said, everybody gets a water bill.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very simple to throw something in there. Second, a lot of people seem to go to the post office. We can put something on their board.
We have something there to put something on their board, and it's not. One lady said that she just likes to see stuff in there. She doesn't actually read it.
Jeez. Sorry, maybe we'll put it in, like, orange construction paper or something that shines. And another two options, I mean, they may be more drastic, but putting something on Channel 18. How many people watch Channel 18? We don't know. And... another thing we could do is, and I've used in the past successfully, is reverse 911 calls.
Yeah. Do we know
big events or something like that?
Yeah.
We can do a reverse 911 call.
The annual district meeting. Does anybody know, when we had the water issue a couple of years ago, we got the reverse 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
And so did that go to the whole town of Barnstable, or can
no.
they segregate the district?
They can segregate.
I think that goes, doesn't that go through the police department? Yeah, the police department does that.
I certainly think a reverse 911 for, like, our annual meeting would be great.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the fire department, the fire chief, we can talk to them, they should have the capabilities of doing that, too, because those are public safety concerns, and they sometimes need to reach people for a certain issue, so they know how to do that. So we can reach out to the chief and see how to do that as well.
Yeah.
So there's many ways of doing it, but...
maybe I'll hand out flyers at the 4th of July parade, since that's the most well-attended thing ever.
At Kettleers games, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we're in the marketing business. This is what we have to do.
This is not my strong suit marketing.
Unfortunately, that's what I learned in working in municipalities is an unfortunate thing, but most of our population is not very engaged.
No.
People don't want to get involved. And in our particular case, again, what I found out is that people don't know how the districts work. I knew how the district worked because I worked for the town of Barnstable. And even then, I was like, this is so confusing. And through that process, in my own personal experience, I found out, too, that one of the things that the district did was they were involved in our tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I said, okay, I got to get more involved with this and figure out how this works. But I guarantee you the vast majority of people out there don't even know that. That is incredible to me. And that is a disservice to them because I had a hard time finding information before I got on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how hard it could be, and I think maybe it's not going to be a groundswell of people coming in if they find out, but if we get 10 more people, that's a win. If we If we get at least 10 more people, I'll feel like we achieved something. If we see 10 more people in these seats, I'll feel like, okay, there's going to be more accountability, more people interested in what we're doing, and more people willing to help. So that's my hope. And, you know, I'm in the eternal, you know, optimist, so I'm kind of hope that's what I'm going for. That's my short-term goal. Let's get at least 10 more people in here.
So that's a lofty goal. I'll take it.
Yeah. So you also mentioned, you know, getting a subcommittee to, you know, work on that.
Yeah.
Finding volunteers for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, next time this Saturday when I go get my P.O. box, if I see people there, I'm going to reach out to them. I've seen a couple of people. It's funny. Actually, something happened to me at the store. Somebody recognized me from one of the meetings. He says, oh, you're in the fire commission. I'm like, nope. And I went like the nerd that I am. And,
explained how it works.
And that person was like, well, you know, I have things to do. But I'm like, yeah, but you got to understand. I'm in the presidential committee. This is what we do. But thank you for recognizing me. And I'm like, this is a small opportunity for outreach, and I'm not going to let it go. And I'm pretty sure that lady regretted asking me that now. But at least she's more educated now. And that's what we need. I
wonder if we could ask the Civic Association to entertain you know, a welcome meeting or something for people that are new to the district.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe again, we have the free pizza, but to educate them about how our district works. And then, you know, hey, you want a beach sticker? You go to Hyannis, you know, like just some of the things that somebody moving into the district for the first time wouldn't necessarily know. You know, you got to go to town of Barnstable for this, but the village is this. You know, those kind of things. So, yeah, but just an idea, because I do think we have a lot of new faces in the village.
Scheduled today.
I'm sorry.
How's it going? I know.
Oh, okay. No, we should. I think we're about finished.
Yeah, we'll give us five minutes.
That's
all
right, Randy.
We'll be out. Sorry.
Good to see you.
So, you know, clearly, again, I agree, and we can, and you know, I was hoping to have this meeting just because I didn't want to wait until our next regular district meeting, and we can certainly obviously continue this conversation. I think that there's some really good ideas, and maybe we do need to reach out and ask some members of the public to form a committee to come up with, you know, rather than task the policy advisory committee with that kind of thing, of, you know, really like a constituent outreach committee of how to get people involved. And you know, there's much better people than myself that, you know, we're better at that kind of thing. You need we need like an event planner or something.
Yes.
You know?
There's probably somebody for this year that's done that.
And we can certainly talk more about that at the next meeting. We have time constraints now, but and I know just to touch on one other thing that Cindy and I had talked about and I know that you had brought this up and you had asked I think Attorney Boudreau about the use of the reserve fund to pay for unforeseen expenses over the year, including the additional funds for Lisa Haven, the assistant treasurer's additional hours and raise, and payment of I think we had the other unforeseen expense of the space needs.
That didn't come from the reserve fund though. That's,
oh, it didn't.
No.
Okay. So where did that come from?
That's coming from what was the demolition project.
Okay. So we'd already funded for that?
We did that at this annual meeting. We transferred that to the space needs.
Okay. Can we pay a bill from last year with this year money?
That's not last year's money. That's an appropriation that was available to change.
Okay.
We just can't pay it until after the first of the year, July 1st.
Okay.
So you know, that's another thing
know that.
I want to bring up. I don't want to claim that I'm a financial guru or I understand most of these rules, but again, I do have experience in the public sector, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about a lot of things. So I, for one, would like our staff, when we get asked questions like that, to be more prepared to ask questions like that. Because
there's a lot of things that could be diffused very easily, and we let them build up because people don't get the right answer. But on the same token, they're not supposed to know these things. They probably, the ones that are very interested, educate themselves, read whatever, you know, it's online, but things are always gray, and some of the educational things out there are probably not as accurate as they should be. One of the things that we learned ourselves when we went to this, the Inspector General's training, is some of the things that are out there that we maybe as a group didn't know. I would love for the Inspector General to have maybe a public educational thing, because this happens in every town that I've worked in. People get it in their heads that there's something that we're doing wrong, and it's just because they don't understand some of the rules. And some of the rules I personally don't understand. Again, I've been involved. Every day I learn something new. Every day I learn some rule and everything. So
it was
things
a worthwhile presentation.
Yeah, and you're an attorney, so you know things are never black and white. There's always a range of solutions and interpretations for things. So I just don't want people to think that, number one, we're all knowing, all seeing. We also ask for help. But number two, that they're not all knowing, all seeing either. That there's the middle ground where we can all work together and figure things out.
I'm gonna cut you off so we can, you know, any very brief public comment, like one sentence. We have people waiting.
Well, hold on. That was a manner of speaking, too. I mean, you saw that there's people out there. We're not trying to shut you off. Let's be conscientious, too. But go ahead and speak, please.
If it started at 5.
No, that's incorrect.
We touched on open meeting law.
Correct.
But yeah. Yeah, he did an open meeting law presentation also.
And that's what we need in the village, and I actually am filing an open meeting complaint with the fire board of fire commissioner, and that is what their correction plan is. If there were those meetings here, I really think that's something the district would benefit from. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that
anybody else for public comment? We've already gone over that extensively at the meeting. But it's, you know. The ones that they've been posted when there were committee members present. And they're on the website. The agendas are on the website. No.
It's often an agenda item in the meeting.
They weren't
special meetings just for those purposes.
Because there's not a quorum of the committee. There's one of us who meets with the architect. It's not a formal meeting. It's just, again, that's what I was alluding to, that perhaps staff could be doing that, or a committee that we create for special projects could be doing that, but it's not a meeting of the board. It's one of the board members has taken it upon themselves to do this.
But it's okay. So thank you. I'm good. Move to close the meeting.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.